Hey guys, I'm Ryan Williams.
And I'm Jake Kern.
And this is 14,605.
And counting.
And we are back.
What's happening, everybody?
We are back for episode number 64.
64.
And season finale of Moon Knight, episode 6.
Titled.
No title.
Yeah, it was
no
just
title.
Called episode 6.
Yeah.
Did somebody like
14,605
add
and counting. Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, usually they, like, usually when if you watch it early, like, they'll have like episode 5, but then like the show title will come in later in the day.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of weird.
Six. Yeah, I was like, really?
Episode 6. There
whole,
it is.
You got massive creative teams putting all this together and doing a fantastic job with effects and whatnot, and you're just going to leave it as episode 6? For real?
I mean, okay, cool. Cool.
So, come on, give us something here.
Yeah.
So,
as I like to open the show, initial thoughts, what you think? Go.
I thought it was good. I was digging it.
Putting you on the spot. Yeah.
Just put me on the spot. I thought it was a good episode. Slightly underwhelming with certain things. But I mean, episodes 4 and 5 were just straight up bangers. So you can't. It's kind of hard to get a streak going like that. But I thought it was a good ending. Yeah. What about you? First thoughts.
I text you my first thoughts. I woke up. I set an alarm for 3:05 a.m.
Okay.
This morning. 3:05 because, you know, I needed that 5 minutes to sleep in. Right. But yeah, I set the alarm. Woke up, watched it, and I'll be honest with you, man. Like, with the exception of like 3 or 4 things, right? 3 for sure. Maybe like 4 as we get talking, right? I'm glad I lowered the bar of my expectations last week. If you were listening last week, I was like, I'm not expecting a whole lot for me. Like,
you gotta temper
the
expectations.
For me, the finale was last week, right? This is just like, all right, I'm just getting the ending, and I just need like a future tease, right?
Right.
And that's what I got. You know, I saw some, you know, like tweets and stuff like, oh, this is the greatest finale ever. And I'm like, I wouldn't go that far. Like it wasn't bad, but like I was a little underwhelmed, not gonna lie.
And as a
probably a little more underwhelmed than you.
It's my dude, you know.
Yes, this is your guy.
But I mean, so you said last week was the finale, and this was just, you know, the word you were looking for was the denouement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
If you know that phrase from movies and plays and plays mostly.
Yeah, this is just like,
we're cultured here. We know what's up.
Yeah, this is you know, this is just like
# denouement. I'm right now.
Yeah. I'm seeing these side people say like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And I feel like that maybe they're taking into account the entire series.
So right? Okay, yes. Now, there were some things that happened here that I thought were really interesting and really kind of good.
Let's
but
get into
I,
it.
Well, I want to say, first of all, the best thing in my eyes about this episode was what made it, I think, the most underwhelming. And the best thing about this episode was when Mark and Steven, when they blacked out and all of a sudden came back to it and... like, what the hell just happened?
I thought that was my comedic moment of the episode for because of Layla's reaction.
Yeah. What the hell was that?
What the
hell
was that?
Yeah, he's like, I blacked out. But that right there, we had seen a couple times in the show where Mark or Steven like blacked out and came back too, and you thought, oh, the other one, you know, like Steven did it, and you're like, oh, Mark came and took over. Now I'm one, you know, we're wondering, like, those blackout moments, was that really Mark? And early on, yes, they were. But like you said, in the museum with the jackal, that was probably the other personality taking over at some point.
And last week, I questioned, too, when they were in the Alps, like how bloody he was when he got the scarab back. I'm like,
yep,
that's probably the third personality because of just how vicious it was.
And in the desert when he was chasing those guys.
Yep.
So Steven's like, you're a monster. And he's like, what are you talking about? So that right there, though, like, so he, now I had, excuse me, I had to think about this because the way it ends,
mm-hmm.
if you think about that blackout battle a little bit.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden we're back to Mark and he's like, what the hell? He like looks around, sees all these guys laying down. Harrow's on his back with the staff at his forehead. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay, that third personality took over. Then you see Amit dragging Khonshu away. And you're like, okay, well, how did that happen? My thought is that Khonshu saw this third personality take over for Mark and Steven and was watching him battle in awe.
Mm.
And he must have looked up and made a deal or must have said something or whatever. There was something that went on there. And while Khonshu was staring down, like, what the hell is going on? Amit clocked him and dragged him off because he wasn't prepared. So I thought he was caught off guard. Like, wait a second, there's something else in that body. So when Mark and Steven were like, no, we're done, he was like, as you wish. And he went and he was like, all right, I'm going to go talk to this third personality and be like, hey, buddy, let's make a deal.
Well, I have a thought on that. I think Khonshu knew way earlier than that point. Like maybe I could see that maybe he was looking in awe at that point. Maybe that's mm-hmm. what happened. But I think he was well aware way before because he says
he had his suspicions, I believe.
I think he did. I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago.
And he's been around enough. I mean, even like when he was in the Alps, like you said, and he was like, the idiot's back in, take over, Mark. And, you know, something went on there and he knows something's up, but he's probably not had an interaction with that personality by himself. I don't know.
I think he did a Coach Ryan.
Oh boy.
Beginning of the episode. I think he did a Coach Ryan.
What's a Coach Ryan?
So you know how Coach Ryan says, I said this in a previous episode, like if you take a Coach Ryan class at Orange Theory Fitness, right? You have to listen to all of the words that Ryan says, right? I may say that, hey, this is your last 30-second all-out.
Right.
I didn't say that it was your last all-out.
Right.
I said it was your last 30-second all-out. And usually when I say something specific like that, that means I have more for you.
Right.
I'm not lying to you, right? But you just have to, like, put it together that you have more to come.
Yeah.
And but always, all the time, people are like, you said it was the last all out. I said, no. Right. You didn't listen to everything I said. I said that was the last 30-second all out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that scene where you know, Steven and Mark come back to life and they meet Khonshu in the desert and mm-hmm. they're bargaining basically. And Khonshu's like, oh, is this really the time to bargain? And Steven had that quip, like, oh, you know, learn from the best, old bird. You know, mm-hmm, like, ha-ha, mm-hmm. jab, jab, right? And then, you know, Steven's like, yeah, and like, you know, we're done after this. And then Khonshu says, and I highlighted this quote. Khonshu says, I will release you both. You have my word.
So he, okay.
I will release you both.
Yeah.
He said that. And I'm like, he just did a Coach Ryan right there.
Yeah.
He said, I'll release you both. You have my word.
Yeah.
Both meaning two. I'll release the two of you.
Yeah.
He totally pulled a Coach Ryan. He pulled a Coach Ryan right there.
And they even said, let us go. Like, they were both talking, and he was like, as you wish. Like, oh, you wish. I'll let you guys go. You guys are the ones who want to go.
Yeah. He said, I'll release you both. And I'm like, you sly old, you Coach Ryan, you. All right. So yeah, that's why I think he knew, he was well aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, so either he was in awe, or he was just like caught off guard, or he was just like watching his avatar's handiwork, whatever. Amit caught him off guard. I
would have loved to see the scene. Like I understand
why they don't show it to you. Yeah.
Yeah, I understand the effect, and it had an awesome effect. Like, I get it, but man, I was like curious. I would have loved to see what Layla saw, because that's why I thought it was so funny, because Layla saw it.
And yeah.
She was like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, she had no idea. She was okay.
It's like, okay. Like, all right, cool.
So it's, what else is interesting too is that right there was supposed to be like the climactic battle. You're expecting this like big fight. He's gonna like take Harrow down, like they're about to get defeated, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, we won. And you know, so it takes a lot of wind out of the sails, but it's because you're gasping because you just got punched in the gut, so you're like and you're breathless because you're like, wait a second, what just happened? But at the same time, it's like, oh, I kind of wanted to see that.
Yeah. That's what it was. I'm like, I kind of want to see that. Like, I want to see how he just put in work with like everybody in a 50-foot radius. It was just dead.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. So
I have some things to bring up.
Okay.
Two of them are things I noticed that I think were subtle. Three, but one of them is not really. I mean, I'll still mention it, whatever. Two of them are quotes. Three of them are quotes, and one of them is kind of like just a what the hell. So, the three things I noticed. First of all, at the end, you saw two fish.
Yes, right? That was great. Okay. Yep,
two fish. So there you go. You have two fish. Next thing. When Layla was with Harrow and they were leaving the desert, and he slapped that staff down and sucked the souls out of all those guards, she survived that judgment.
Yes.
That judgment was not, unless it was focused on those who were not followers of Amit, or he, like Harrow knew, take out these people who aren't part of my crew.
Yeah.
Unless that was the case, she survived the judgment.
Yes.
Which was pretty neat.
Yeah.
And it could be
that's ambiguous. Like, that's a good point. Like, you don't know whether he pointed the judgment at the guards.
Yeah, it was a focused judgment.
But was it like a radius? Like, here's a staff and like...
Was it a focused attack, or was it using the No, because one of the guards survived too. He said, you're a pure... So she survived it.
Yeah.
Because she could have just been wiped out right there if she was impure.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Other thing I noticed, when Mark stood back up, when Mark and Steven stood back up after being revived, two bullets dropped out.
Yeah.
Harrow took two shots, two bullets, two personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another... interesting thing I noticed.
Now, here's one thing.
Just little details, you know.
Here's one thing that I noticed that Harold said. He said before, like after he shot him, after the two shots, he said, I wrote this quote down since we're talking about that. He was like, okay. So after he took the two shots, shot Mark, shot Steven, he was like, I'm sorry it had to be this way, Mark Spector, comma, Stephen Grant, comma, whoever else might be in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw that third personality too. Now he doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
But that line, like, really points out that, oh, he knows that there's
he recognized something.
Yeah. There's a third something in there.
Yeah.
Right. He doesn't know the name. Like, maybe he hasn't seen it, but, like, yeah, he knows there's a third something in there.
It's very, very interesting. You know, I heard that and I noticed mm-hmm. it, but until you mentioned it, I wasn't like, oh yeah. I was like, oh, wait a minute. He did say it that way. Interesting.
Yeah. I was looking at the subtitles too, comma, whoever else might be in there.
Yeah.
And then he ended it. And then he said the next line, he said, sometimes we need the cold light of death before we can see reality. I just thought that was a pretty cool line. But yeah, so Harold knew that he took the two shots to kill. I wonder if he would have took three shots. Maybe he just took the two shots with, that's what he knows, Mark and Steve.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and the second shot knocked him off his feet too. So
yep,
he didn't need a third shot. But still, two shots was just like two fish. You know, it's,
yeah,
it's the two we know.
The two fish, so. That was cool. Because like I said last week, the goldfish problem was going to bother me from episode one.
Yep.
I was gonna write a stern email Dear Disney, what the bleep was the goldfish problem? Like, right. Why? Explain right. That. You didn't handle that. So
now I'm going to address the hippopotamus in the room. See what it did there? Not the elephant.
Hippopotamus. Dude, I listened to that. I had to listen to that thing like at least 10 more times since I sent it to you.
My
hippopotamus.
God.
I might just bite your feet. All right, anyway. Anyway.
Well, the hippo in the room.
The hippo in the room. Yep.
Is this quote. You ready?
Uh-oh.
What's going on? Oh, no, someone's trying to release Amit. No shit. No shit. Someone's trying to release Amit. I wonder if there was anybody in the universe who might have tried to tell you that that was going to happen. Oh, that's right. Flippin' Khonshu and his avatar.
Yeah, those gods and their avatars, they were pretty lame.
Yeah, guess what? They're all dead now. All those avatars, dead.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're pretty lame. Like, yeah. So, what the hell was the point of even you having avatars if you're not going to do anything?
Yeah.
And what?
Someone's trying to release Amit.
This is your house. This is the Pyramid of Giza, the Great Pyramid of Giza. This is your home. This is your home turf. This is Rocket Mortgage Arena, right? This is you know, dude, whatever.
I was sitting watching this in my office because that's what I do when I'm at home. I watch it in the office during lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Here I am. Someone is trying to release Amit. Pause. Both arms up in the air. Really? And I wrote down, yeah, no shit. Khonshu tried.
Harold was like, oh, Harold said, oh no, I'm just digging in the desert. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
We're cool.
This weird dude with glass in his shoes who used to be an avatar of one of you gods is just digging in the desert. Yeah, that's all he's doing.
So is this kind of like a can we call this a Jake grind my gears moment?
This is a mini
grind my gear.
No, I wouldn't call it a grind my gears. I think I would call it a open your damn eyes moment, because like nobody ever listens when someone's trying to tell them there's a problem until the problem happens and they're like, oh, hey, wait a minute, what's going on?
Yeah,
like, hey, you know that guy over there that's, you know, like waving his hands at you like, hey, I was trying to tell you something. That's that guy who was telling you something. Should have listened to him. They should have just listened to Khonshu. I mean, let's be honest. He forced He forced an eclipse and he moved the night sky. Both of those things knowing he was going to get banished to tell you something was wrong and you chose to ignore him and y'all are dead. So good riddance. Peace out. You deserve it.
Well, their avatars are dead.
Right? That, yes, that's I what like, I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah, yeah, these gods and their avatars, they were pretty lame. Pretty lame.
God, the ignorance. Like you those gods were speaking. The gods were speaking through the avatars and they were like, "Nope, let him go. He's fine. Khonshu, don't do this again. You've been warned." Like it's like the two kids in high school. The one kid starts the fight. Picking starts the fight. The other kid ends the fight and he's the one who gets in trouble and the other kid just walks off like nothing. Yeah, that BS.
Maybe this is a setup for Gore.
It's gonna be easy pickings, tell you that.
Yeah, the incompetence of the gods.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That could be part of the fuel of the fire for Gore.
One of the new avatars for those gods is going to come storming into the Pyramid of Giza, like, dudes, hey, someone's trying to kill all the gods. You got to do something about it. Quiet down there. We're fine. And then they all get wiped out.
Yeah. So,
bunch of idiots. Yeah. Oh, my God.
They were pretty lame.
They're just running in, they're like, someone's trying to release Ahmet. No shit. You've got to be kidding me that you just said that line right now. Anyway. Wow. Two things. The line, the peace you've always wanted but never had. Haha, see? So I said that. I said that last week. That's gonna be his only moment of peace ever in his life.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. And Towarit was like, hey Layla, you could be my avatar. I think I called that one too. That's 2 for 2 right now.
2 points right there.
Yeah, 2 points. I'm like 2 for 2, and then I'm like over the century every other time. Over the century.
Yeah, gotta take those victories.
Uh-huh.
And with that, I like to give Oscar Isaac another big shout out here, because the whole the actress who's Layla, May, I can't pronounce her last name. Yeah, like she didn't do a bad job when she was being, avatared. I just made up a word there, avatared.
Yeah.
But just Oscar Isaac did so well with it. Like, he just crushed it. Like,
The thing I found weird about that part, I mean, it was a weird interaction. However, when Khonshu was speaking to Mark, whenever Khonshu spoke to Mark, it was a voice. And Mark was fully in his faculties. He was like in control of himself. Mm-hmm. And the only time Khonshu spoke through him like that was in front of the other gods.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the nature of the pyramid where it's like they can do that, but I feel like she could have just spoke to her aloud, or maybe she doesn't know how. I don't know.
Well, okay. A couple things that I think about that, just kind of like off the cuff as you were talking. One, you said, yeah, maybe it's a pyramid thing. Like, they're in the pyramid. Yeah. So
it's a pyramid
scheme.
This whole show is a pyramid scheme. I am highly proud of myself at this moment.
Good night, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, wrap for tonight's show.
Pyramid scheme, hashtag pyramid scheme.
Good night. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Yes. I don't know where to go from that. Yes, it could be a pyramid scheme. Yes. Or it could be just that since Mark's mind is just so like kind of messed up, like maybe that's something that's unique to him where, you know, they can Conchu can speak to him in that way just because Mark's mind is just so kind of fractured and like split in three.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something that's unique to Mark because of his condition. So
Well, and
that's just a
also,
thought.
I mean, Ammit and Khonshu showed up in the pyramid, so Towarik could have just showed up. Also,
Yeah.
and been like, "Hey, what's up?" But
Or
yeah,
maybe she was busy docking the boat, you know. So she was,
that
you know, had to
Yeah.
bring the boat back to, you know, the dock and, you know, tie it up and stuff like that. So she
And
couldn't be there.
right, possibly. And to touch on the whole Layla Tawarit, she's Tawarit's avatar for a short time thing. Great line. I would say probably one of the most underserved top five lines in this whole series. Are you an Egyptian superhero? How cool is that?
Yeah, she's like, I am.
The young girl looking up, looking at Layla, like, whoa, watching her, and then asked her that. And she said, yeah, I am. And she went away, and that girl just watched her and was like, hey, look at that. In a country where women don't really have any power, there's a woman who's a superhero. Who is Egyptian running around kicking ass?
Yeah,
Very cool moment.
Marvel, Disney, they've done a lot to be very progressive in that way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad they did it. Yeah, that was a very cool moment.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I am, right? So and then I was like, all right, cool. Then maybe we can get a future with her too.
Yeah.
As an
Mark
avatar.
Spector's Moon Knight is known for having kind of like a team in a way with Crowley and with Frenchie, and his wife is name her name is not Layla in the show in the comics, but his significant other.
Yes.
And I think I'm forgetting one person off the top of my head. But anyway, he's known for having kind of like a team for him. Now, I want to know how much time has passed between the end of the show and the post-credit scene. Because that white limo came from somewhere. You don't just get a freaking sweet
Maybe,
limo like that with
maybe. Well, I was thinking about this. So, all right. So let's get to the post credit scene since we're touching on it now. So at the end, you know, credits roll, boom, boom, boom. We get Harold in this psych ward.
Now he's
Right.
really in one.
Yeah. Harold's in the psych ward and, you know, he knocks over his cup, which was filled with sand at first. Like that's what the camera sees. But then it was like, I don't know, chocolate milk or something like that. I don't know, something. And, you know, the nurse is like, all right, time for bed. And then some dude speaking Spanish with gloves, you know, like, you know, calm down, senor, senorita. Like he's speaking Spanish,
Yeah.
right? Wheels him out. As he's wheeling him out, we see a dead, you know, orderly or nurse on the floor. Harold's like, you know,
What's
that
going
looks
on here?
strange.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then, you know, there's a limo, open the door, and the guy shoves Harold in. And
Let me
that's when you
say
see the hat. You see the hat. I'm like, all right, you know who this is.
that
You know who.
limo is spot on for
I was going to
Mr. Knight.
talk. I was gonna talk about that limo,
Mm-hmm.
right, and have some ideas of where this is going. And then he shuts the door, and you know, he's very aggressive with the wheelchair. Like, I laughed at that too.
Kicks
He's
it.
just I'm like, all right, cool. That's unnecessary, but I guess that's the point of this personality. It's like unnecessary aggressiveness,
Unnecessary
right?
roughness
Yeah.
on the driver.
Yeah, and then Conchu's in the limo, and long story short, you know, Conchu's like, meet my buddy. You know, I never wanted Layla as my avatar, basically. Meet my friend Jake Lockley.
Yep.
And then you see the eyes in the rearview mirror. I thought that scene was very chilling, the way that he did it. And
Yeah.
then the rearview mirror, and then he turns around, like, it's kind of like a, almost like, it was almost like his face was kind of like off color from the rest of the scene, like kind of like a noir black white type of thing. And then the look, and then the Spanish again, and the
Yeah.
two shots, and then yeah,
And
boom.
I'm wondering if Khonshu's gonna use Steven and Mark like that and take control of the body and go on these missions, they're both gonna be like, was that you? No, that wasn't me. I was wondering if it was you. They're gonna be like two and two together.
Yeah, they'll probably figure it out
Yeah.
over time.
So have a problem with
Uh-oh.
how that ended.
Uh-oh. Is this a grind
So,
my gears?
yes, this is a grind my gears
Uh-oh.
moment.
Oh boy. All right.
Do you want to talk about the limo, or do you want to do this now and we can talk about the limo after this?
I want to hear where you're
Let's
going.
do this now.
I
All right.
haven't heard of Jake grind my gears in a little bit, so I'm kind of excited.
Okay.
Here we go. Come on.
So what grinds my gears about this is, let's see. How do I start this? Okay, this goes back to, we've talked about this before in our show. There are rules. You set rules for your universe, and you're supposed to follow them, right? So the god's avatars bound Khonshu to a new Shopti, right? So Khonshu is not allowed to exist, banished inside this little statue. It's like a genie
You know
lamp,
what? I
kind
think I
of.
know where you're going with this. It took me, I have to think about this for like an hour. Like,
But
but
it's,
keep going. I want to see where you're going.
yeah, because I think, yes, I think you know where I'm going, but I don't think you know fully where I'm going, because there's another movie reference I'm going to make, a separate movie
Okay.
reference, not
All right.
MCU. So, okay. So now you got the Ushabti. And this is the rules. They made these rules. When you're bound to the Ushabti, you're banished inside of it. As soon as someone shatters it, you're set free. Right? So Amit was smashed. Boom. Came right out. There she is. Okay. In all her crocodile glory. Looked pretty cool, by the way. She looked pretty cool.
Yes.
I was disappointed by the voice a little bit. You know, it's like these are, I don't know. They're supposed to be Egyptian and they don't sound Egyptian. They don't have like an accent. They sound too anglicized for me.
Yes.
I wanted them to sound older. I wanted them to sound more, I don't want to use the word foreign because it's the wrong word, but that's what I'm trying to say. I wanted them to not so anglicized. It bothers me. They shouldn't sound that way. It's like Jesus wasn't a white guy. Let's be honest. Come on. Like, stop anglicizing everything. Use the culture that's there. You don't need to whitewash it. Anyway. Okay. So now you have Amit stored inside of Hera's body. It's a pretty powerful goddess. She should be able to do stuff. I mean, unless being trapped in a mortal form severely weakens a god, they don't have anything to. They're kind of like, you know, when they're not attached to something, they're in their full power. So maybe being stuck inside makes them weak. I don't know. Okay, but You're going to tell me that two shots from a gun is enough to kill a god inside of a human? And my problem is, if they did the ritual of the Ushabti and Hero is by default the Ushabti, if you destroy the Ushabti, you have set the god free, right?
Okay.
Okay, now this is where the movie reference I'm going with comes with. You ever seen the movie Fallen with Denzel Washington?
No.
You've never seen Fallen?
No.
Oh my God, you need to go watch that movie. That is a fantastic freaking movie. God, spoilers abound from where I'm trying to go with this. Doesn't ruin the... I'm not going to ruin the end of the movie for you. I'm just going to... Basically, what happens in that movie is the devil is possessing people's bodies. And by touch, if the possessed person touches another, the devil can pass to that person and take over. Okay? But if you kill the person with the devil inside, the devil has nothing to latch onto. Unless you're in a radius, a close enough radius, and it can drift. He can drift to another person. You follow me?
Yes.
So, like, if you were, like, down the street from me, and I had the devil in me, and I died, and you didn't run fast enough, he could get into you. So you'd have to be far enough away from life for it to work. Jake Lockley's in the front seat. Okay, technically, maybe possessed by Khonshu. Sure, you could say that. But... come on, you're gonna tell me that two gunshots is enough to kill a freaking god that's been living for thousands, tens of thousands of years, and it's not gonna have any way of those. They've been living long enough for a reason.
I knew where you were going with that because I literally spent like an hour like trying to figure this out. Right. This is in my mind how I break it down. Right. So you got, because I was wondering like what the hell just happened. Right. And how did it happen with everything else that I saw, right? So you got three things that the gods can go into that we've seen in the show. The stone statue, and then the bodies in two different ways, basically, as an avatar and what we saw at the end with Harrow. Now, This is how I broke it down. Like, because again, I had to rewatch it and think about it, right? So the gods, when they want to banish something or trap something or trap another god, right? They put it in the stone Ushabti, right? Yeah. But see, the way, now I could be right or wrong, right? The way I thought about it in my mind, that this was not, that stone is basically, it's not living. Like, it's basically a cell, right? It's basically a jail cell. So if you break the stone, you break the jail cell, they're free to go, right? So then, all right, cool.
So they're bound. All right,
cool. I got
they're bound to
mind.
The stone, but they're not living in this. They're not, the stone is not their body.
Exactly. Okay. So then you got the avatars, right? So when they make an agreement with a person to become their avatar, right, they can, when they're in that temple, right, they can go into that person's, whoever the avatar is, body and talk and do whatever.
Yeah.
But like, as we saw in when Harrow comes in and releases Amit, like when that body is killed, they can't use that body anymore. But they weren't bound to that body, so they can,
they're
just
like tethered,
leave, right? They can leave, and if they agree to get another avatar, they can go into that next body, right?
Yeah.
This was a spell, because Layla said the word spell. Like, I didn't write down the whole line, but she said a spell.
Yeah.
That had to be done inside the temple.
Yeah.
Where. He's bound. Amit is bound in mortal form to that body. So this isn't like an avatar thing. Like, you are bound in mortal form to this body. So when that body dies, the god dies too. That's how I separated it in my mind. Because yeah, I thought about the same thing, and it took me like an hour. I'm like, let me think this through.
Right. But then, if that body then dies, and the soul goes to the afterlife to have their scales weighed, or their heart weighed against the feather. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's not going to be balanced. So okay, maybe that's the case, but I don't know. It just seemed too easy. And I felt it was too easy for how Amit was bound. There was, I mean, it's, yeah, okay, I get it. They're running out of time. But Hera was just, like, chucked in there, and Amit's not going to I mean, you saw Khonshu disappear.
Yeah, I did think that Amit's not going to fight back, like, so she's like, not realizing that she's being bound right now, and she was going to come in to stop it. Yeah.
Khonshu disappeared to go immediately to Mark to be like, yo, you're awake, you know, that whole situation. You know, Emmett's not going to be like, hey, wait a minute, something's going on inside the pyramid. I'm going to go inside there and stop this.
What up, Mark?
Yeah, hey, you're, dude, there you are. I told you you'd be back. What's up? What's happening?
What up, bro?
Yeah. But I mean, seriously, Emmett's not going to, like, reappear inside the pyramid and be like, the hell do you think you're doing? it just seemed too easy for me.
Yes, I did think that part. Yeah, Amit's not gonna fight back. Like, yeah,
and
I did
to
think
be honest,
that, yeah, that,
like,
that was easy.
In the first Doctor Strange movie, I even thought it was too easy for how Strange defeated Dormammu, his greatest enemy, meeting him for the first time, and he just has to bargain and does a time loop, and Dormammu's like, so pissed off and defeated that he gives up. Like, I mean, no, I'm sorry, that's too easy too. Like, there's just some things where they use these extremely powerful villains where they find like the easiest thing to beat them in a short period of time. It just,
like Ultron.
No, yeah, that Ultron. Too even. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and they weaken heroes too. Like Vision was completely, like, what was the word I used? Did I use neutered? Was that the right?
You did, yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just, I was like, oh, cool, we got Jake Lockley. And he shot him? Really? He shot him. He shot him in the face. Oh, my God. That's it? That's the end of a goddess? Like, the.
Yep.
Okay.
But that's how I broke it down.
Those must have been magic
mind,
bullets.
It was a spell that Amit is now mortal. Like, there, she's
Moon
in
Knight.
Mortal form.
And Khonshu must have crafted him some special silver bullets or something from his magical Egyptian weapons that he gets. And here, shoot him with these. It'll kill him. You know, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. So that's how I broke that down in my mind. Now, the limo. I want to get to the limo. Like, so, in the comics, it was Stephen Grant, correct, who had
the
money.
It was Stephen Grant who had the money.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. Was that Mark with all that shit that was in the locker? Yes,
well,
it was
Mark. That was Mark who had the money. But, you know,
Stephen was the rich one.
Steven was the rich one in the comics, yeah.
Steven was the rich one. Mark was the mercenary. Jake was the
taxi driver.
He was the cab driver who had like the street knowledge from all his contacts.
Yeah.
Crowley being his big contact.
What I'm thinking is, like, they're kind of flipping that a little bit in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
Because that wasn't just any regular limo.
No.
That was Rolls Royce.
SPKTR, a Spectre on the front limo thing.
Yeah. A freaking Rolls Royce limo. I'm like, oh, he's the one with the money. When I saw that limo, I'm like, oh, a Rolls Royce limo? Okay, cool.
But the thing that makes me kind of cringe a little bit at that is okay, they kept it accurate with the Spectre on the front of the limo.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Jake Lockley driving it without, seemingly without Mark or Steven's knowledge. And if it's Spectre, then it should be Mark Spectre. But why is Lockley driving a Spectre limo? Where's that going?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah, maybe. maybe because in the comics, right? Didn't he? Didn't Steven? Wasn't the name of the company had the name in it, Spectre in it?
I believe so. I'm pretty sure they do.
Maybe that's a nod at the company. Maybe he kind of changed the name a little bit. Maybe that is. I mean, you can't probably couldn't put like Spectre full on the license plate, but
well, and that's the thing. It wasn't a license plate. It didn't have a state. It didn't have normal border. Didn't it was like a vanity non-official license plate. It was almost like it was like a logo for the car. Oops, hit my mic.
I noticed that, and I'm thinking they're flipping it a little bit. Like Jake's the one with the money. He's a driver. I mean, maybe they you know, he's a driver. Like, yeah, he drove the limo, but like he not every driver is going to be driving a Rolls Royce limo.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? I was like, yeah, I was like, okay, cool. So there's a lot of money here. Yeah.
So if that's the case and they're flipping, I just don't understand why they didn't just be like, okay, you know what? The one with the money, let's just keep that as Steven, but let's, why didn't they just make a new personality? You know, it's like when they say like, you know, the Bourne Identity movies, you know, they're using the Bourne name. They're not actually following the books,
which, yeah,
irritates me, but still, I don't know. I see what you're saying, but
we'll see if depending on how /if/when they continue his character, you know.
Yeah. Especially with the article you sent me with the lukewarm.
Yeah, I think you got to take that with a grain of salt, though, because we talked about that a couple shows ago, too. Like, they don't do long-term things anymore with the MCU people.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I think they're doing that to give themselves flexibility. Like, they're so locked in over the next 2 or 3 years, at least, you know.
Yeah.
And they're giving themselves, all right, you know, let's see how people receive this. We're not going to lock ourselves into a season 2 right away. We make this as a standalone limited series. So just in case, hey, we don't want to do another season of this. We don't have to.
Right.
Or we leave the door open just enough to where, okay, if this is received really well, we can make a season 2.
Yeah.
But we're not going to commit to all of our people, right, locking in these long-term deals. You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I feel like the actors and the actresses probably, I don't know, I feel like that I've seen a lot of people say, like, hey, I want to take a break from, you know, this character.
Right.
I think Ethan Hawke said something like, they're like, you don't want to be locked into a character for very, you don't want to do a character too much. Like, you need a break.
He said, unless the fans are happy, then.
Yeah, right. You
want to
do some other stuff. And like, I think doing it that way, like, you're not locking these people into this character. So they have the flexibility to do other projects, but you can bring them back too. Like, so.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you're bringing Harold back. So
he's got to be one and done. Yeah.
I mean, hit the road, Ethan Hawke. You know, thank you.
Right.
Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
I think he knew going into that he was going to be one and done.
Yeah. You know. But
I'm not finding any. I'm not finding anything on a company name. What I'm seeing is that he gets all his money from gambling.
Okay.
So,
I mean, maybe that's a storyline that they keep. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Jake being aggressive like that, I could see that happening.
Yeah, they've. I mean, they're.
He has.
But this again may be another Coach Ryan moment where they're saying, we haven't signed on for a season two yet. Doesn't mean we're not going to be in some movies, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Doesn't mean we're not going to be in another show.
Yeah.
Midnight Suns, excuse me. You know, something like that.
You cough drop there?
I think I do. Yeah. Can you mail one to me?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be there in 4 days. or however long it takes mail.
My throat's dry as the desert, Ryan.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
There's one more point I wanted to make. This one, again, this is a little bit of a grind my gears moment, but it's not so much a grind my gears at the show as it is a grind my gears in general. So, Amit says it was when she'd just been released and Hera was like, I accept the judgment of the scales on my behalf because I'm not balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing like, well, I'm not balanced. That's the rules is rules, you know, from Family Guy.
Yeah.
No, rules is rules. And it's like, okay, he knows he's just going to be banished by Amit. And she's like, no, it's fine. You can be my avatar. And he's like, wait a second. Like, I thought the whole point was to prune from the point so there's no evil. And she's like, no, you're going to do my bidding, you know. And to me, it's like, hold on a second. So you're going to use an unbalanced avatar to cleanse unbalanced people. Because you think they should all be pruned from before they can do evil. How does that work?
Yeah.
It's like so hypocritical. You know what I mean? Like I once relied on a servant whose scales balanced perfectly. It's like, so you're going to use somebody who goes against is the antithesis of your thought to do your bidding. Like it, to me, it... I don't know if I want to go this route, but like, think about World War II and Hitler. He was Jewish, wasn't he? He definitely wasn't white with blonde hair, like and blue eyes, like he was saying was the Aryan race. He was not that.
No, he was not. No.
And he's going to go cleanse people who are, well, like him because he believes in something else. It's just so backwards.
Yeah.
You know, like just in general, like there's this kind of stuff comes up a lot. It's like someone's like, I'm going to do this. And it's like, but you are exactly what you're tearing down. Like, you know what I mean? Just.
I think her rationale was, well, I used a balanced soul, but that got me locked up in stone. So,
right.
You know, bleep it. Why not use an unbalanced soul? But it goes against logic, but I'm just doing the opposite thing since the other thing.
But then at that point, it's like she has just proven that what she's doing is not good because someone balanced was like, you're wrong.
Correct. Yeah.
And she's like, well I still want to do this.
Well, that's what like people do that all the time. Like, oh, well, this didn't work. So I'm just going to do the exact opposite. And of course, that's going to work, even though it goes against like all logic. I'm going to just do the exact opposite.
To achieve my ends.
Is it logical? Absolutely not. But, you know. Which is why she needed to be locked up.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Two silver bullets. Peace out. See you in the never after.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. So a lot of stuff in it. I mean, they did a lot in 42 or 43 minutes, whatever the hell it was. But like I said, for me, a little underwhelming. Like my three things, one, Jake Lockley. That was like, God. Honestly, like before that happened, before that post-credit scene, like I was like, oh, okay. It's the end. Okay. Kind of how I
And
felt about Dark Phoenix when I watched that in the theater. Okay.
we literally had to wait till the absolute last second of the damn show to hear Jake Lockley.
So yeah, that was, that was one thing. Two, Layla being the Egyptian, hero. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
And
and
the third thing,
they're doing that throughout, like you said. I mean, even like Falcon Winter Soldier with Sam, but
yes.
also with what was his nephew's name?
Oh,
Bradley.
Isaiah Bradley's last
Yes.
nephew. Yeah.
Eli?
Yes,
Was he
Eli.
Elijah?
Elijah E slash Eli.
Okay,
Yes.
Elijah Bradley right there, boom. Like what they're doing with Ms. Marvel and Kamala Khan, like they're making strides at being a lot more inclusive with their heroes, which I appreciate. You know, I've heard too many people say they need to get Iron Man back. Like, no, they don't. They don't need him. They can have somebody else, some other people take over the reins. It doesn't have to be Iron Man.
Right.
Doesn't have to be
Yeah.
Captain America again, like Steve Rogers. Doesn't have to be. You still got Thor. You still got Hulk. It's fine.
And then number three that I got a lot of joy in this episode, a lot, was seeing Steven slash Mr. Knight go to work in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I loved that. Like Mr. Knight just kicking ass in this episode. Like that part where he's in the room with Harrow and like Harrow pushes him and he like shrugs his shoulders and brushes it off and then like
Fixes his jacket.
gets, yeah, right. I thought that was awesome. Like,
Yeah.
nice seeing Mr. Knight not being used as just like a punchline. So I thought that was the third thing in this episode. I'm like, yes, Steven and Mr. Knight putting in work.
There was another thing that got me a heavy eye roll.
Uh-oh.
So
Uh-oh.
you got Harrow with the staff. You've only he's only ever used the staff to make judgment. Okay. So now all of a sudden Amit's released and he can just use it as like a lance. He's just like blasting the inside of the pyramid. I'm like, it's not a weapon. It's not a laser. It's not a laser weapon. How what you're just able to shoot powerful blasts out of it all of a sudden? Where the hell did that come from? I was like, please. And if that's the case, he used it one time to shoot some ancient rocks. Like, he's not going to use it to blast Moon Knight come running at him, like with blades and trying to kill him. He's not going to just lance a hole through his chest or something. He's just going to use it one time as like a, ooh, look, I have power. You know, like, come on. I rolled my eyes so hard at that part. I was like, give me a break. They could have done without that. I feel like they at some point in every story like this where there's like this kind of thing going on, someone's got this special weapon. It has to have the ability to like firepower a beam of power out of it. It's like, no, don't have to do that. It's like, come on. They could have saved so much time by not doing that. And doing it once. You know? Like he's standing on top of the pyramid holding the staff and doing this ritual, and he turns around and sees moonlight coming at him. He can't just like turn and point it at him and be like, I'm just gonna shoot you out of the sky before you get too close. Oh, now you're too close.
Man, I feel
Cynical
like
Jake.
we got a lot of grind my gears tonight from
It
Jake.
just
I love it. We haven't had that in a good while. Like a, you know.
it's just little things where I'm just like, come on, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And overall, I thought it was a fantastic show. I really enjoyed it. I loved seeing the character. Just little things like that get me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of finales,
Yeah,
should we go to
we have a list.
our
We
little
have another.
exercise here?
Yeah. So you should.
So
So
I
I got a
found this
message. It was probably like
yep.
a couple hours before we started the show. And was it earlier in the day?
No, it was a
It was
couple hours cuz
a couple
I
hours.
just saw it like not
Yeah.
too long ago.
I took a look at it and I was like, well, let's just do this tonight. It's about it's a six pane kind of infographic with all six, because there are only six MCU Disney Plus shows, and which had the best finale.
Finale. Now, not overall show. Finale.
Right.
See, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Finale, not overall show. Because overall show, we've done that already. We haven't
Yeah.
done it with Moon Knight in it, but we've done overall show. This is
Yeah, and
finale.
I rank these based on the finale. That's right.
Yeah.
So, you want to just roll right into this and talk about it?
Yeah,
All right.
let's do it.
Let's start with number six. Who's
Number
going
six,
first?
I got Hawkeye, number six.
Same.
Yeah, I mean it was Christmas time. You know he's gonna be home in time for, you know, Christmas,
Yeah.
right? It's the superhero ending, right? This thing probably for me was Kingpin, right? And how like badass he was, like
Yeah.
ripping the car door off and yeah, or
The
getting hit
coolest
by a car and like he
thing for me
basically.
was Jack. Was Jack being like, "Oh yeah, let me fight with you people." You know, like that was cool
Yeah.
for me.
So, but
Yeah.
otherwise, yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad, but yeah, number six for me.
Yeah, it I agree. So number five for me, I have Falcon Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Just nothing against the show. I feel like the rest of the show got overshadowed by the Shield killing,
Yeah.
unfortunately. And
Yeah.
again, I think episode five was a stronger episode than six. And episode
That
six
tends to
had
be
a
the pattern of
right.
these Disney Plus shows.
And like you, and I think it's just, yeah, there's such a strong message at the end of the show, but yeah, I didn't think it was as strong a finale.
Yeah.
So,
Well, Falcon Winter Soldier, that's not too far away from my five. Number five is going to be Moon Knight, number five for me. You know, we just talked about it. You know, if it wasn't for Jake Lockley appearing at the very end, like I was like, man, this is. Whew. And even I even lowered my expectations. I'm like, man. But then Jake Lockley hit. I'm like, all right, cool. That's cool. I wanted to see that.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that. So yeah, we talked about Moon Knight. So yeah, very great show. Like I think I would probably rank it two overall in terms of overall show.
Okay.
But just
Wow.
the finale, episode six, yes, it would be number five for me.
Yeah.
And then number four would be Falcon Winter Soldier for me.
So is, yeah, anything else to add to Falcon Winter Soldier? I didn't want to cut you
You know,
off.
I think I think that the even though we kind of knew we had that hypothesis beforehand, but
Yeah.
the power broker reveal being Sharon Carter, And just seeing Sam in the suit for the first time, the new suit, that was pretty cool. That's why I ranked it higher than Moon Knight, just because, you know, there was like a couple things, there was a couple more things that I got out of that finale versus Moon Knight. So yeah, that's number four.
Number four for me is Moon Knight.
Okay.
And
So our lists aren't really that different so far.
not yet. They're
I think
probably going
they'll
to be the same.
probably,
I think they're going to be the same the rest of the way.
I don't
Uh,
know. My
we'll
one
see.
might be, my one might be different from a lot of people's. Maybe. We'll
Okay.
see.
So we did just talk about Moon Knight's episode kind of at length, but the thing that put it above Hawkeye and above Falcon Winter Soldier was that moment when, boom, blackout. Okay, we're back. What happened? That for me was like the big, like,
What the
oh
hell was
yeah.
that?
Yeah. That is what did it for me. That entire episode was like, hold on, pause. What, we're just gonna leave it like that? We're not gonna talk about this? Okay, let's keep going, whatever. Like that right there did it for me.
Yeah.
That was number four. Number three for me is What If.
Okay.
See, this is tough because I feel like, okay, oh, you ranked it third. It's like, well, no, I had to put it somewhere. I couldn't say number one was tied three ways. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be somewhere. I thought it was a fantastic finale. Much better send off for Black Widow than the Black Widow movie was.
Oh yeah.
100%. And shoot. See, this is where I get my finale thing tied up. Yeah, still ranks third. Yeah, it was really cool how it ended with Strange and everything. With that pocket universe and that whole show was kind of like, where's this going? Where's this going? Oh, this is where it's going, you know, that kind of
Oh
thing.
yeah.
So actually, funny
Well.
story, I just picked up a new Funko today, shocker, and it was and it was Zola Vision. So it's the
Oh,
Vision
cool.
body with Zola,
Oh,
Arnim Zola
nice.
in the chest.
Nice.
That was a pretty sweet looking one. Like the eyes are all jacked up and everything, because he's like a zombified Vision kind of.
Yes.
So yeah, What If was number three for me.
All right.
Oh, because, and I think what, sorry, one more thing. I think what kept it from being higher was the emphasis on Doctor Strange, the Supreme Strange, and how powerful he was, and kind of how weak the rest of the characters were in comparison. Like all Ultron, Killmonger, whatever the villain was at that point, had to do was take out Strange, and they were all screwed.
Yeah.
So that for me, like, they should have, what was the point of even having a whole team then if Strange could have just done it himself? It was like that meme of like team strength 100%, and then you take away the rest of the team and it's Strange just says 99%, you know, if you've seen that before.
Yeah.
So that I
Well, I
think
think.
kind of de lowered it for me, because like, come on, like, you got a whole team here, let's use the
I'll
whole
get to
team.
that. So, all right, number three. Three and two, I'm kind of flip-flopping in my head right now. I'm gonna keep it the same. All right, three, I have WandaVision. Again, not bad, not horrible. It was fantastic. I just think that I have a couple other things with the other two that would rank a little bit higher. But that, you know, the action that was kind of secondary for me. Think the most powerful thing was toward the end, where, you know, it was either Tommy or Billy who says thank you for, or was it Juan? It was like thank you for choosing me to be your mom,
Yeah, oh my
and it
God.
was like, oh, Jeez.
You're gonna like rip my heart out right now because being a new parent too was like, oh my God.
Yeah. And then you get the explanation of what vision that vision is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole Westview kind of disintegrating.
Yeah.
And then she's back in the plot again.
Yeah.
And then the walk off where everybody's like staring at her like, you bitch. which I mean, they're justified. I mean, don't get me wrong.
No.
They're very much justified in how they feel, you know. So I kind of, got that kind of like, you know, how people were looking at her, like humans look at mutants in Marvel stories. So
sure. because she kind of is a mutant. Or...
yeah. Anyway, anywho. So yeah, very, it was less about the emotional, less about the action, more about the emotional ending. Number two, I have Loki at number two. And the whole reason why is because of the multiverse opening and the sacred timeline being destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the genesis of this next phase of Marvel stuff.
So, you know?
and then the He Who Remains, like that was so not expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like to see Jonathan Majors show up.
Yeah.
Because they kept that one pretty good, like tight-lipped.
They
like,
sure did.
They, you know, so then when Jonathan Majors shows up, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
okay. And then you get the Kang, you know, sculpture at the very end.
Yeah.
And then the cliffhanger, like Loki's in a different, he's in a whole nother timeline TVA, now where the TVA doesn't even know who he is.
Yeah.
Like Mobius thinks he's another TVA associate,
right,
or whatever. So like all of that at the multiverse and that cliffhanger at the end, like, all right. And Jonathan Majors showing up and the whole multiverse and that made it number two for me. So
number two for me is WandaVision.
Okay.
See, I was debating between WandaVision and What If on flipping back and forth, but I think like I said, the whole thing with Strange being so powerful and the rest of the team kind of being like ho hum, really,
mm-hmm.
really dropped it one notch for me. WandaVision's finale, I think the episode leading up was really solid, but this finale was very strong because you got the whole. Her turning Agatha's trick on herself with the runes, and
yes,
Vision versus Vision with the what's the boat?
I can't think of it.
The ship being fully restored, is it the same ship or is it a brand new ship and them coming to terms with their being and getting to see that there's like in the wrap up that Jimmy's going to be he's going to be getting to do some stuff and come on brain work what's her name, my God, I did this before too, I can't remember her character name, Tiona Paris,
Maria Rainbow,
thank you God.
No, Monica Rambeau. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Moron.
Yeah.
Yeah, her.
Yeah.
Seeing the Skrull and getting to, you know, go on. So there was like a lot of like, hey, they're going places with this show. Yeah. And Wanda and the ship flying of Theseus, off.
By the way, I just thought of it. The ship of Theseus.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. And her going off to the cabin with the Darkhold, that was pretty cool too. Yes. So there was a lot like this
there was a lot.
And this show kicked off the MCU
Disney Plus
shows,
That's historic.
And really it also kicked off technically Phase 4.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was Phase 4 number 1, right boom, right out the gate.
Yeah.
So what a way to start. So I think that
So that means
no, Loki's number
number
one for
one.
me.
Yep.
And it all has to do with He Who Remains being in that, and that whole time loop thing where, you know, he was trying to get, he was baiting Sylvie to kill him the whole freaking time, and he wanted it to happen because as soon as it happens, it completes the time loop and he is now the Time Lord as he is. And just that whole show just kind of let up. I mean, there were some flat moments in the show for sure, but this is one of the rare shows that had a powerful finale.
Yep.
WandaVision had a strong finale. What If had a strong finale. The other three, like you said, they were kind of just like, here's the last bit of action, and it's all denouement. And Loki had a really strong finale.
Yep.
And a lot of mystery to it too, because you didn't know what the hell
Yes.
to expect from this show when we went into it. And
Yeah,
at
going
the
into
end,
it, like I would have never have expected what we got.
yeah, and at the end
That's
of it,
why
you're just
Loki
like,
is one.
whoa.
That's why Loki is number one for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, going in, I'm like, all right, Loki, I like the character, but I mean, like, a whole show, we'll see. And then, like, oh, this is what we're getting. Cool. All right. I'm
And
down.
we haven't really got like too much of like a creepy vibe from anything, with the freaking exception of Miss Minutes.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, very creepy.
Totally creepy. Like, okay,
Yeah.
you're smiling a whole lot. What's going on back
Hey,
there behind those
y'all.
teeth? Fine. Bye. Oh shit.
Yeah.
So that means number one for you.
Number one for me is What If?
Get out of town. I did not see that coming.
And yeah, I know, told you my number one might surprise you. And I might be a little bit of a prisoner in the moment because I just rewatched it a few days ago. All right. But I was thinking, like,
You're thinking, what
if
if?
that, yes, I was thinking, what if, right?
I'm on fire.
If that was live action instead of animation, we would be saying that that's the greatest thing ever.
Right.
If that was live action, like, because that Ultron, Infinity Stone Ultron, Vision Ultron, that's been like the most badass villain that we've had.
Yeah.
Like he literally saw Thanos in half in a second.
That was incredible.
He was like, fascinating, and
Oh,
no
there
more
goes
Thanos.
Thanos.
And now he has all the stones.
Yeah,
Just
literally and
it three.
figuratively.
It took like yeah. It took Thanos what like years, and he gets them in like 5 seconds.
Like, thank you for putting these all together for me.
Yeah, and like you have multiverse. You got these heroes pulling together. Like I said, I looked at it in the frame of. If this was live action,
And I think it was so well guarded on in terms of like spoilers, because there's no filming.
exactly.
There's no filming, there's no sets, there's nothing. It's somebody designing it digitally. People come in, do voice stuff, come out. They're not in costume. They could show up however, like, oh yeah, hey, look, these four people showed up at this studio. Yeah, they're doing work anyway. I mean, that's what they do, that's their job. You
Yeah.
know, there's no there there's really no you can hide the hype and save a ton of money and well, geez, I mean, using different voices even and trying to mask it to really save a bunch of money too, I imagine, you know, for contracts and for big names like James Spader and well, Robert Downey Jr., he didn't do his character's voice. They could do so much more with that animated that version and cover so much more ground. I mean, if they tried to make that live action, that series alone probably would have, it wouldn't have come out for like 4 years. It would have taken forever.
That's the lens that I looked at. I'm like, if this was a
Yeah.
live action story, like this would be like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
So that's like, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, so that's why I ranked it number one, because it was like, the Guardians of the Multiverse. Like, that's a team that we don't have in live action. Like, it's a,
Yeah.
and then, like you said, like, it was a very much better send off for the Black Widow character than
Oh my
the
God.
live action did.
Yeah.
You
Yeah,
know,
they did
so.
so much better justice to her character. And sadly, Scarlett Johansson wasn't a part of it. God.
They were
Like, yeah,
going through
sure, we'll give you a movie. And
that
it's kind of okay. It's kind of a ho-hum. All right, okay, look at this thing. Wow. She got a really big
drama.
send off there. Big middle finger to Marvel gives middle fingers to a lot of people.
So yeah, that was my number one. And the implications that now we're getting some of those characters in live action.
And speaking of, that's tomorrow night. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So we were talking about spoilers, like, and there was the thing that Feige said, he didn't like how spoilery these trailers were, teasers
Yeah,
were.
dude, like, all right, cool. Don't give me that nonsense. Like, I think he's giving us the runaround. You know what I mean? Like,
Exactly.
you're the boss, bro. Like, I know
So,
you're not overseeing directly the
marketing,
marketing
whatnot, yeah.
people, but I mean, you're the boss.
Everything Marvel does, they do for a reason. If something is leaked, they leaked it on purpose. If they're saying something, it's because they want you to hear what they're saying. He's saying he doesn't like how spoilery these have been because they're
Yeah,
very,
shut
I
up.
think they're very close. Exactly. They're very close to being very spoilery, but he probably did it with the intention of let's let people think that I'm mad because of how much is revealed so they don't go digging for more.
Yeah. Or we're giving them the middle finger with all these spoiling things that we're leaking.
Yeah,
You know.
like, hey, is that Professor X in that chair? Nope, it's not Professor X in that chair because Hulk wasn't there, remember?
I did too. I looked at the Moon Knight trailer, the first trailer that they have, and they did a so when Steven answers the phone in his flat, in the first trailer, it was an unknown caller with like a gator picture background
Later's Gators.
in the very first trailer. I'm like, oh, you
These sneaky
sons of bitches.
bastards. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm like,
Pretty much.
wondering how much of that's gonna be in the movie tomorrow.
Yeah, there's. Hey, and you know what? I applaud them for being careful because I hate a spoiler.
Yes.
Dude, I do not like spoilers.
Yeah. So
I even
we'll
like
see.
I don't like going to work. Like if there's a movie that comes out on a Thursday that I really want to see and don't want to be spoiled and I can't go to it until like a Sunday, I hate going to work on a Friday morning because I feel like I have to walk in with earplugs in because someone's gonna be like, "Hey, that movie, what would you see what happened when this happened?" And I'm like, "I'm gonna punch you." Like, stop talking, please. Some people haven't seen it yet, So there was something that I sent you. I sent it to Val too. I don't want to dwell too much on it, but I wanted to bring it up. Collider, I see some stuff from them. I mean, they're pretty good. They're pretty good with some of their articles and such. And the article was, "Is Sam Raimi's Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness a horror film that will scare me?" It says, "This one is probably not for young kids." And if you read it, I'll post it when I post the the podcast after I publish it, I'll tag this. I'll add this link to like the comments of the post that I'll make. But it talks about Sam Raimi and how he does with his background in horror, and how to kind of approach it, where there's like there's horror elements. They said it's more. Let me see if I can skim this quickly. That it's there was a really flashes of horror. It says infused with horror than it is a strict genre work, playing around with scares here and there that will still while still plotting ahead through the more typical superhero fare. When it is able to provide brief flashes of horror, it creates a sense of flair for the unexpected that feels incredibly refreshing. So it's not like it's like
I think it's
terrifying
more, I think it's going
to
be more unexpected rather than like horror. Like I'm not really, I don't really get the whole horror vibe from any of the trailers and previews. Like
Raimi says the film is one that dips its toe into the world of horror because that's his thing. There was even a thing that mentioned there's a little bit of body horror if you're familiar with what that means. Kind of like body horror would be like if someone said Spider-Man, but the guy is actually it's like an eight-legged spider with a human body mixed with a spider. That's body horror.
Okay.
Like that. So I said there's a little bit of that. I imagine that might be like the zombie kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Obviously, we'll see. But it said it has some brutal parts to it too. So not for
because there's a bloody Wanda in there. So I mean,
yeah,
unless you just I'll just create some blood on my face and you know,
yeah, right,
just walk around, yeah,
yeah. So
the blood's gonna get on the face somehow.
Yeah, the end of it basically says it won't scare the most steely horror junkies among us, though it might get under the skin of those less accustomed to the genre. So approach it as such. If you're watching, if you're listening to us and you're like, hey, you know, I'm on the fence about seeing this because it seems like it's going to be scary. I'll post the article. You can take a read, make your own judgment. But I mean, I would still say go see it. Because if you're into the MCU, I imagine this is going to be well worth your time to see going with everything going forward. So,
yeah.
Just Jake's 2 cents. My 2 pennies,
not
real
your two,
thoughts.
Not your 2 shots. Not your 2 shots.
No, Jake. Not my 2 fish.
Your 2,
or my 2 chains. I don't know.
2 chains. On that note, ladies and gentlemen.
Hashtag 2 chains. We're just going to go for it. We're having fun tonight. So yeah, that was a lot about that article. And did you have anything else you wanted to add to the Doctor Strange talk?
No, I'm ready to see it. Like I don't have a whole lot of. I've made the habit of trying to go in like, hey, no expectations. Like I don't want to see 1,000 cameos.
Right.
Like whatever cameos that I get. Great. You know, I've seen some mixed reviews. I've seen some phenomenal reviews and I don't read them. I just like see the headline and then quickly scroll by it.
Yep.
So I'm just going in excited and ready to roll.
And how about Marvel for taking their Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook platforms and turning off the comment? The comment function so people can't post spoilers and such. That's a pretty interesting move. I like it.
First time they did that.
Yeah.
So, see if it helps.
As of our recording this evening, Wednesday evening, the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
God, how did we not start with that?
Yeah.
What's wrong with us?
So.
But to say at this point of recording, I would be in theater. And I'd probably still be in trailers. So I'm like 24 hours away.
You would still be, man, you're seeing it late.
Seeing it real late. It's okay. It's a hey. It's a good time to go. Yeah, it's gonna be good. You're seeing it pretty early, so
yeah.
Like I said, I'm gonna have to block you on. I'm gonna go on Facebook and go block. I'm gonna go on my phone and my now on my cell phone and my text messages, not just Facebook, and block. Straight up block you. Because I know I'm gonna get a hand wave.
Stephen Grant has friend requested you.
Wyan Williams. It's because mine would be Cake Jern. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. So, I'm really looking forward to it. And, yeah, May the 4th, we got another Obi-Wan trailer, didn't we?
Yeah. Vader.
Pretty cool. That was it, though, for all day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There wasn't anything else?
They did. They came out with the Boba Fett behind the scenes. Ooh. It's like an hour. I watched it. It was really good.
Really?
Like, I was very happy. Like, I was thinking, like, all right, it's May the 4th. Like, what Star Wars thing am I going to do today? And the problem is with me, like, once I start going, like, I get going. So I'm like, I didn't really want to watch a movie because then I'm going to want to watch all the other ones and there's not right. enough hours in my day today to be doing all that.
You know, so, as a lifelong Star Wars fan, I am very highly disappointed I did not come home to a lightsaber in my mailbox. Let's be honest.
Oh.
They should just give us one.
Yeah, but I did watch the Boba special that they put on Disney Plus today. It's really good. I highly recommend it. I enjoyed it. I was like, all right, this is a perfect May the 4th thing.
Okay.
Because not only was it Boba, they kind of did like a lot of Star Wars lore type of stuff in this special and how they created the show. And yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it. That was a good. That was a perfect May the 4th thing if you only had like an hour.
Nice.
So yes. I think you'd really enjoy the Cad Bane part too.
I'm sure I would.
Yes.
How they
developed him and stuff.
Ah, Bane.
Of course. Yeah. Because, you know, you get Cad Bane before I get mutant. So that's fine.
Oh. Well, there was something else that I was talking to my buddy Chase at work, and I told him about that. I said, I got Cad Bane before you got your mutants. And I said, there's going to be another thing I'm going to get before you even get mutants. I'm trying to remember what it was.
You get Howard the Duck.
Yep, Howard the Duck. I'm going to get Howard the Duck before you get mutants. Come on, Howard. We want Howard. We want Howard. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that about wraps it up. Any final thoughts in general?
No, I can't wait to talk about Doctor Strange.
Yes.
What we get in terms of I'm ready to see what cameos we get.
Yeah.
And what multiverse things that they open in this movie.
And we haven't seen anything about Bruce Campbell. Have we? Has there any been anything about him and what he's going to be doing? He's basically in like everything Sam Raimi does.
Mm-mm.
They're like high school best friends.
No, I haven't seen anything.
I mean, if you're familiar, he's Ash from, you know who he is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Evil Dead. Okay, so I'm just curious what his cameo or role is going to be, and if it's going to be quick entrance, quick exit, or, you know, just kind of like in behind the scenes or something. I don't know. I'm curious. So,
well, 24 hours from now, I'll be like, yeah, I'll be blowing your phone up. So,
son of a bitch. All right. Well, on that note, for Hawkeye Rye, this is Hot Take Jake. And
as always,
hold on to your butts.
Boom.